This is the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
Today on the Covenant Eyes Podcast, we will be talking with David Eric Jones, pastor of First Baptist Church in Jayton, Texas. David is the author of My Struggle, Your Struggle, a frank and honest book about the temptation of pornography. Pastor Jones recently confessed his personal struggle to his church congregation and has since started speaking widely about this subject.
Pornography destroys, and I believe with all of my heart, our saturation of sexuality in America, whether it be through direct pornography, whether it be through television or music, whatever the case is, it is increasing our temptations. It's increasing our struggle. The Bible teaches us that when we give in to temptation and it becomes a sin, that something's going to die. A relationship may die. A dream or goal in your life may die. A ministry can die because you've given into sin and you're no longer pursuing God, and that ministry just flames out, burns out. A marriage can die. All kinds of things can die whenever we give in to sin. Sin births death.
Today you will hear more about how he confessed this issue to his family and his church, and a little about his book and speaking ministry. You won't want to miss today's interview on the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
I was called to the pastor of this church about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And right at about 6 months after that is whenever I came to the church and actually in a Sunday morning sermon, told them about my past and confessed the struggle with pornography. And so it's been, I guess, going on four and a half years now.
Wow.
since I made this public. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote the book. It's been released for about a year now, so it's been just kind of a highlighted issue within the church now for, you know, about 4 years.
Wow. And so you did this from the pulpit, you're saying?
Yes.
Wow. And let me ask, I got to know, why did you choose to tell your whole church? I mean, obviously,
okay.
I see the benefit of telling all your friends,
sure.
You know, or close circle of friends or people to hold you accountable, but why bring this before the church?
Well, the first thing I've got to say is just in obedience to God, because this was not my idea. I wanted to keep this hidden from everybody, but God just kept laying on my heart that I needed to confess this and to make it publicly known. And He prepared me to do that. And He set my heart to do that. He helped me to do that by letting me know that this is something that other people deal with, and that if other people are going to reach out for help, they need to know that they're not alone. And to me, that's one of the main motivating factors for me, was God was helping me to see that other people needed to know that this was a real issue, and to get it out of the dark and bring it to the light, so that other people would see that, you know, there's hope. Because that was one of the things that really kept me down, was that feeling of hopelessness.
The feeling of aloneness. The feeling.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So in your recovery process, as you worked through your issues, as you confessed your sin, as you started to work on seeing, you know, rooting out that sin in your life, by the time you told your church about how much victory do you think you had over it at that point? Were you still kind of really in the midst of the struggle? Was this still a gripping problem for you at that moment, or had you gained some measure of a track record of success, a track record of obedience at that point?
Sure. Yeah, I had. You know, basically, I'd already been about three and a half years into what I would say my recovery, where I had not looked at pornography at all. So this was not something that I was in the in the midst of that. I had been dealing with it. My wife and others had been helping me deal with that privately.
Okay.
So it wasn't something I wasn't coming to the church and saying I have an immediate problem with it right now.
I see. Okay.
However, I did say this is something that is going to be a part of my life forever, because of the damage that it's caused and because of the images that are in my head. This is something I will struggle with for the rest of my life.
I see.
And the reason I say that is, it's so easy for people to think, man, I got this licked. You know, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And of course, the Bible says pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
So, I'll openly admit that this is something that I'm tempted to fall into. And that's why I say it continues to be a struggle.
Well, I got to say, this is, to have a pastor come forward to his whole church and to say what he struggled with in the past and what it can continue to be a struggle is can sometimes be a rare thing in the church today, because there's such a well, just in the conversations I've had with pastors, there's such a fear in dealing with, you know, how will my church react to this? Was that a fear you had?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I told my wife and kids, I don't know if I'll have a job tomorrow, because I really didn't know how the church would react to it. And, you know, we have a very loving, supportive church, but this was stepping into a whole new, you know, realm. And I certainly was unaware of, you know, how they would be, how receptive they would be, how supportive they would be with this news.
Sure.
And so, yes, I was definitely afraid, but I felt like it was something I had to do.
Wow. Well, that's really a brave thing to do. But obviously, obviously, you've seen some fruit from this, because not only it seems like your church has reacted pretty well to it, and then there's the publication of this book. How did they react to this?
Well, you know, really they reacted very well overall. Most of the people in the congregation have since then, right after the sermon and even up till today, are very gracious, and they'll thank me for making this public. They thank me for admitting that I've got struggles too, that I'm not some pious, you know, better than everybody else kind of person.
Right.
And really, that's been it's really opened up a floodgate, because we've seen a lot of growth and stuff in the church, because I think when the pastor admits to something like this, it allows other people to admit they're human also.
Right.
And to me, that's been the greatest reaction, is people have begun to say, you know what, we all have problems, and let's help each other, versus, hey, this guy's a weirdo, let's get him out of here.
Sure. Do you think many other pastors and church leaders also struggle with this issue?
Yeah, you know, statistically, and it depends on which, you know, source you go to.
Sure.
You know, anywhere from probably 25% to 50% of pastors struggle with pornography in some form.
In some degree.
And that's something that, you know, certainly there's no 100% certain number, but statistically it shows that somewhere probably in the 30%, 35% range, the pastors admit, and that's the ones who admit to struggling with it.
Sure. Wow. Well, that, have you had a chance since the publication of your book to have conversations with other pastors, either who are in process, they want to confess, or maybe have you talked to pastors who have confessed this?
You know, there are very few pastors that I've talked to that have publicly confessed it. There are a few that have and have talked about it with, say, their men's group or their deacon body, elders.
Sure.
But almost every time I speak, a youth minister or a pastor, someone in the ministry will come up and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. This is something in my life right now. And also there's many who come up and say, hey, I understand. I've been there. I know what you're going through. I can't think of one time where that hasn't happened after sharing my story.
Oh, wow. So we talked a little bit about the confession to your church. But you said before that you had already been working through this with your wife and with your family and all those kind of things.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about how your wife reacted to this when she heard, and also talk a little bit about how your daughters reacted to this when they found out.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I write in the book a little bit about how my wife responded to my struggle. She knew that I had dealt with some pornography issues in my past, but wasn't aware of how deep it was in my life into our marriage. And it was a big it was a big hurdle to overcome.
Sure.
And we had to work through that, and I share in the book a little bit about that. As far as my daughters, they didn't know until just, you know, prior to me sharing with the whole church.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so it was something I dealt with mostly with my wife and a few, you know, friends. But my daughters at the time were, one was a teenager, one was preteen. So it was really an issue we didn't want to cover too much in depth before then.
Okay.
But my daughters have been really supportive. You know, they've read the book. We talk about these things. It's been, you know, I would say it's even been a blessing to open up about it, because, I mean, we can talk about anything now, and it's been just, they've been incredibly supportive.
You know, I talk to so many parents who they struggle to understand how they can relate to their teens who are going through puberty, going through sexual changes, curious about sexual things, obviously learning a lot of it from the world, from media, from culture, trying to fight this onslaught of negative images, negative impressions of sexuality, false impressions of sexuality. And here you're saying that an honest sort of admission of your own struggle has opened up a door for conversation with your kids.
Absolutely.
That's
you know, that's been one of the greatest blessings from this. We've been able to talk very bluntly, openly, honestly with our daughters because they're just inundated with sexuality.
Oh, sure.
And they are being attacked from all sides. And if parents and the church, if we don't step up and share the true message about sex and the beauty and the wonder, these kids are just being torn away and just abused and hurt. And I was teaching a youth group at a purity retreat a couple of weeks ago, and what I was trying to do is show them just how precious the amazing gift of sex is, and that God has put up some promises and warnings as guardrails rather, that guide us to that promise, and that the promises of God and the warnings of God are for our good. And if we don't talk frankly about these things, our kids are going to be confused, and they're going to fall into the traps of Satan because he wants to just steal the wonderful, amazing gift that God has given us.
It reminds me of the story of the Exodus out of Egypt, how God so many times continued to tell that generation who came out, tell your children, tell your grandchildren about the slavery you experienced and the liberation that I brought you with many signs and wonders, how I brought you out. And I think that the same principle applies to us as the church today, as we sexually broken people coming out of a sexually broken world, when we step up with bravery and say, this is the exodus that I've come through and that I'm still on. And to say that to the next generation, it equips them to walk a little farther than we have, and maybe not go into the same pitfalls that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of my passions, is to share my story with the next generation, because I believe that knowledge is power. I believe that God wants me to testify of His goodness and His forgiveness, His strength, because the Bible over and over again, just like you said, God tells us to testify and share with our children and the next generation, because if we don't, they're just in the desert.
Sure.
And it's so important that we do that. And that's one of my passions, is to share with you know, children, with young adults, with young married couples, because they're in the midst of this battle.
Right.
And I want to give them hope and resources so that they don't have to make the same mistakes I did.
And is that why you wrote this book?
Yeah, it really is. You know, it started out, I was just going to write my testimony, and the more I wrote, it just a passion just began to envelop me about sharing my story on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that you don't have to stay in bondage. That was one of the things that really nearly broke me, is that I always felt like this was something I would be enslaved to for the rest of my life. I wanted to be free. I wanted to change. I wanted to honor my wife in our wedding vows, but it just seemed like I didn't know how. And so that's why I wrote the book, is because I want to get this out in the open. I want to show people that even if you're in the middle of it, you can find freedom, and then hopefully even help people avoid the trap altogether.
Yeah, I noticed that's the subtitle of your book, Breaking Free from Habitual Sin.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, as you've worked through this compulsive use of porn, as you've helped other people work through that issue as well, what are some of the keys that you've discovered to breaking free from habitual sin?
Okay, I would say the first one is awareness. We can't deal with it if we won't face it.
Sure.
In fact, you know, I call it facing the beast, because there's you know, in everybody's life, there's something that's there that we know is there, but we don't like to talk about it. We don't want other people to talk about it. And until we face that issue, we're not going to ever break free.
Right.
Accountability is also a big deal for me. You can't do this alone. God never said, do these things by yourself. He's empowered us. He helps us, but he's also given us family and church members and other resources so that we can, you know, we can have that accountability and that help that we need. Then there's also practical steps. You've got to take practical steps towards change. And to me, this is a big issue because most of my life I wanted to change. I wanted to do things differently, but I wasn't taking the practical steps necessary in order to get there.
What kind of practical steps are you talking about?
Okay. For instance, you know, internet filters, blocks on satellite systems or television, you know, cable systems. For me, being aware of idle time, because I found that I fell into temptation most often when I was by myself and bored. And so if, you know, if the kids and my wife were out of the house and I was sitting there kind of looking for something to do, it's amazing how I would drift towards the computer or towards, you know, television or someplace where I knew I could find some source of pornography. And so those are, you know, some practical things that people need to learn and put into practice in their life.
That's great.
And then finally, and probably most importantly, is the fact that our behavior doesn't change without a change in our belief system. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, through spending time getting to know God's Word, and through revelation and the help of God through the Holy Spirit, our belief system can change. And the Bible says, you know, if we want to be new and changed and not conform to this world, we have to have a renewal of the mind.
Right.
And I really believe with all of my heart that we have to get our beliefs in line with God in order to change. And the more that we line up our belief system with God, the more our behavior is going to follow the things he's commanded us and the thing he wants us to do. So you can't, you can do practical things, but without a real faith and a real value system behind it, those practical things will wind up really getting you nowhere.
This has been our interview with David Eric Jones, author of My Struggle, Your Struggle. You can learn more about David and his speaking schedule on his website, TitusFamilyMinistry.org. That's TitusFamilyMinistry.org. This is your host, Luke Gilkerson, and you've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.